If you're new with us this week, we're on the better half of a four-part message series called God With Us. We've been looking at the verse in Matthew 1:23. You probably have it memorized. Here's what it says. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And what does that mean? God with us. Yeah, we're talking about the presence of God in different seasons of life because we experience God in different ways based on what's going on in life around us. The first week, we had talked about the presence of God in the valleys, right? We learned a key principle that we may enjoy God on the mountaintop, but we get to know him intimately when we're down in the valleys, because down in the valley is where life happens. Last week, we talked about God in the wilderness, where God often whispers. God whispers in the wilderness. And we learned the key principle. Why God so often whispers? He whispers because he's close. We learned the valuable principle. Our deepest need becomes a gift when they drive us to depend on God. Our deepest need becomes a gift. And today I want to talk about God's presence in the storms. I had a friend, who my dad's best friend, in fact, who used to say something. It was always a bit discouraging when he said it, but if you understand the principle, it makes sense. It was really, really true. He'd say, you're either coming into a storm, or you're coming out of a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm. Okay. Like, what does that mean, Dave? You're either coming out of a storm, in the middle of a storm, or there's a storm around the corner. In other words, life can be really difficult. That's not encouraging. And I would never say, hey, amen to my friend. But it could be really true. It seems like you're either coming out of a difficult time, you're right in the middle of something difficult, or there's just something around the corner, that the things that are just difficult and painful. These things just happen in the world. And so that brings up the question, where is God in the middle of a storm? If you've been following the news, this fall we had some crazy storms hit the east coast of our country, a couple of hurricanes, and I was kind of thinking about this, and it's funny to me that we name these huge killer storms after people. Like, have you ever thought about that? We had this storm come in. It was Hurricane Ian. Do you remember that one? Like, the whole west or east coast got hammered with rain, and it was just, and then we had this other one. It was Hurricane Fiona. Like, I'm glad we don't name our everyday troubles and events after people. Like, think about it. Like, you get up one morning and you couldn't make it to work. And so you started naming your excuses of why you can't make it to work. You get on the phone like, well, boss, I can't come in today because of Hangover Howie. Like, I mean, it just took me out. It's a Category 4 hangover. Like, how ridiculous would that be? Or I'm really sorry, I couldn't be there today because I got hit with diarrhea Delaney. Like, whoo, she was bad. You know, it would be odd. It would be odd if we would name all of these other things in our categories of life that were storms. But for years, this wasn't the case. They didn't used to name all of these hurricanes and storms after people. They named it after geographical places. And then in 1954, like, I did some research on this, you know, because I only work on Sundays, so I had lots of time to research. And I have nothing to do all week, so I looked this up. And in 1954, that was the first year that the meteorologists started naming storms after their wives or girlfriends. Like, how stupid is that? Imagine, like, I'm a meteorologist, and I come home at the end of the day, and I'm like, hey, Lisa, there's, like, this crazy Category 5 storming, and it's going to kill a lot of people. Like, just leave tons of damage. Like, buildings will be torn. Like, it's coming. It's going to be the end for a lot of this. And it reminded me of you. I called it Hurricane Lisa. Do you feel loved? Well, what were they thinking? And for 24 years, they named storms after females. And then in 1979, there was equal rights for storms. And they started to name them after men as well. And I also learned in my research, if there's a particularly bad storm, then they retire that name and they never ever use it again. So for those of you who came this morning, thanks for my little history lesson on naming storms. Unfortunately, some of you right now, you're in a storm that you might be tempted to name. Like, I just wish I could get through storm divorce. I wish I could get through storm depression. I wish I could get through this financial storm. How do I get through this relational storm? Or whatever it is. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of a real pain, and we just want the storm to go away. What do we do in the middle of a storm? And unfortunately, a lot of people, when it comes to God, they often blame God for the storm. They question, well, where is God in the middle of the storm? Why is God allowing this? I don't understand. Where is God in the middle of my storm? Well, our key thought today is this: never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Let me say it again, because it's important for us to understand this. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Remember our key verse? Right? And the virgin will be with child. She'll have a son. It will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Today I want to look at a story in Acts 27, and we're going to spend most of our time there. So if you want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 27, we're going to look at a storm that some men who are on a boat in the middle, they're in the middle of this crazy storm, these men. And the storm went on for several days. The crew was so terrified, they started throwing cargo overboard, and they just believed that the storm was going to take them out. This will be the end. This is the storm that they thought that they would not survive. So pick up the story in Acts 27, verse 20. This is what it says. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars. I wonder, just pause for a moment, I wonder how many of you would use that phrase for something you're going through right now. The terrible storm raged. Like, it just won't stop. The terrible storm raged, and then they said, until at last all hope was gone. That phrase really gets to me. Until all hope was gone. Because I talk to people all the time that have given up hope. I sit in my office, I'm on the phone, I meet people in the street, and they've given up all hope. There's just no way our marriage is going to make it. There just is. I don't know how it can be repaired. There's no way we'll ever climb out of this financial debt. There's no way that we could ever beat this cancer. The doctors have done everything they can. There's nothing else we can do. Or I'm going to be alone for my whole life. I don't have the gift of celibacy, but I have to choose it. We're never ever going to be able to conceive. After what happened, I'm never going to be able to afford. They gave up all hope. The terrible storm raged until at last all hope was gone. Verse 21 says this: no one had eaten for a long time. Finally, the apostle Paul called the crew together. Here's his encouraging words. Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete." How many of you want to hit Paul when he says that? Like, should have listened to me, guys. Like, I know what I'm doing. You jerk. Like, you're on the boat with us. We're going to die together. And this is your encouraging word. Man, if you would have taken my advice, you would have avoided all this damage and loss. Like, I'm not making it up. It's in there. Because Paul was just a regular guy. And as spiritual as he was, he's not above doing what so many of us love to do. And that's when you're right, you tell people, I told you so. If you just listened to my advice, you wouldn't be in the middle of this storm. Why were these men in this storm? They were in this storm because it was their fault. Because they made a decision to go when the environment was risky. Storms happen in the winter in that part of the world. Don't go out on a boat. Have you ever noticed sometimes in Christian circles that so many people blame the devil for everything? Like, it's the devil's fault. He made me do it. The devil did this. I'm under spiritual attack. And sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's your own dumb fault. I got a couple of people saying amen. Right, don't elbow the person next to you. Because listen, I've been there. Sometimes it's our own fault that we're in a storm. Sometimes you're in the middle of the storm because you spent too much money. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because your emotions got the best of you and you said something that you shouldn't say and the heat of the conversation, you don't know how to make that apology because it would ruin your entire argument. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because you procrastinated and you put it off. And no, it's not the devil's fault you didn't pass your exam. It's your fault for eating Domino's pizza and watching YouTube until the very next day. And then you're like, I can't cram it all in. I've been there. Sometimes you're in a storm because everybody else told you not to date him. Right? Your mama told you not to date him. Your daddy told you not to date him. Your pastor told you not to date him. And your best friend told you not to date him. Your fortune cookie told you not to date him. And you argue back, but he's got so much potential. He's got potential to ruin your life. But you dated him anyways. Now, sometimes you're in the storm because it's your own fault. And maybe that's why these men gave up hope. Because it's their own fault. I don't know about you, but it's easier for me to believe that God will get me out of a storm when God is the one who caused the storm. Like, it's easy for me to believe that God will get me out, but it's hard when I'm the one who caused the storm. I got myself into this mess. Why would God come and help me? Because I caused the problem. It's my fault. I don't even deserve to be rescued. The storm continued to rage, and they gave up all hope. Now, there are probably some people on the boat. It probably wasn't their fault. Like if you can imagine, I don't know how big the crew was or how big this boat was, but let's say there's probably a few guys on there that were like, Paul's saying we shouldn't go. I know he's just one of the prisoners, but you know, we really like the guy and he's saying we shouldn't go. But the captain said so, and so these guys ended up there, and they're in the middle of the storm that is not their fault. How many of you have ever been in a storm that's not your fault? Yeah. I've been there. Like, don't point at the person next to you, just kind of acknowledge it, right? As a kid, your parents, they ended up divorcing, and you're in the middle of this crazy storm that wasn't your fault. Or your company made all of these bad decisions and they ended up having to downsize and you were a casualty of it. You're in a storm that really wasn't your fault. You trusted somebody. You gave them, they gave you their word. You believed them at their word. You thought that they would do what they said they would do and then they didn't deliver. And then one day you're in a storm. That wasn't your fault. Whatever the case may be, in the middle of the storm, sometimes it's easy to give up hope. The storm continued to rage, and they gave up all hope. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. So this is what Paul continued to say after he let everybody know that he was right. He says, but take courage. Do you hear that? Some of you need to hear this. Take courage. Keep your courage. Keep your faith. The storm is not going to take you down. He says, take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. And then in verse 23, he says, for last night, an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I'm served stood beside me. Like, stop there for a moment. How cocky is that? Like, you're in the middle of this boat, and then an angel stands beside you? Like, come on, dude. Like, we're all about to die here. The storm is still raging, and you're talking about angels? Like, come down to earth. Come where it's real. You might not be aware, but there might even be angels in this room right now. Because what we see with our physical eyes is not all that there is. There's a spiritual world that goes beyond what we have the ability to see. And there's a spiritual battle going on all the time. And imagine that you're in the middle of a storm right now and the presence of God is with you in this moment. Often we can't fathom the different ways that God is with us. Right? He could be with you in the form of that supernatural being like an angel. Or he is with you for sure in the form of his spirit. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus, his spirit dwells within you. He goes before you. God is already in tomorrow. He's not bound by time. He's hearing your prayers. He's comforting you in your hurts. He's directing you when you're lost. We have no idea all the different ways that God is with us in the presence of a storm. See, in our story, Paul says, an angel of the Lord stood beside me in the middle of the storm. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Let me give you some bonus verses. This is extra stuff, because they're not in our story, but these have the same message. God wrote them in different places of the Bible. The Lord is by my side. This is what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:16, 17. He says, everybody else deserted me. No one stood beside me. But the Lord is by my side, and he gave me strength. And some of you, you're going to realize this in what you're going through right now. The Lord has not left you. He is still at your side. He will still give you strength. King David said this in the Old Testament. He said, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Like, it's all about who's right beside you, who's with you. And when you realize that God is with you, it changes your posture. It changes your mood. It builds your faith. It redirects your mindset. It's all about who is with you. And when you recognize that even though you're in the presence of a storm, the Lord is right beside you, then he is with you, he is strengthening you. It changes how you ride out the storm. It's all about who's in the boat with you in the middle of the storm, right? Like, in fact, in the New Testament, there's this powerful story about the disciples being in a different boat than the one in our story, but in a different storm. And what's funny about this one is that the Jesus was actually asleep underneath the boat. Like, he's down in the bottom of the boat, and he's sleeping. Like, the disciples did what so often we do in the middle of the storm. Like, they freaked out. They're like, this isn't fair. We're going to die. Jesus, where are you? Why don't you care? Aren't you going to do anything? This isn't good. I don't like this. Where is this going? And Jesus comes up and he says, why are you so afraid, ye of little faith? Why are you so afraid? And then he turns to the storm and he says, peace. Be still. And in that boat, they experienced peace. Why did they experience peace? Was it because of what he said? No. It was because Jesus was on the boat. Real peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Real peace isn't found in a trouble-free life. You will never, ever have a trouble-free life. Following Jesus doesn't mean that bad days don't happen. Like that's bad theology to think that it does. In fact, the Bible tells us the other way around. If you choose to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to run into trouble. Like John 16, 33, it says this, "In this world you will have trouble." Like, that's a promise from Jesus. Like, who loves the promises of God? In this world, you will have trouble. A promise from Jesus. But it doesn't end there. Because he says next, "But take heart, for I have overcome the world." Real peace is not found in the absence of trouble. Real peace is found in the presence of Jesus. He's right with me. He's right beside me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Well, let's go back to our story, verse 23. And again, I want you to see what Paul said. "For last night an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you.'" In other words, the angel was saying to Paul, you can't go down in this battle because God has more battles for you to fight. And someone in this room, you need to hear this. You can't go down in this battle because God has more for you to do. He's not finished with you yet, because if he was, you would be gone and in heaven with him. If you're not dead, then you're not done. God has more people for you to love. God has more opportunities for you to serve. He's got more time that he's calling you to be a blessing. You're not going down this. The ship might go down, but this storm will not take you out. In fact, God will use what you learn in the storm to prepare you to help others through their storms. And I love this because there's a purpose in the storm. You see, this storm didn't surprise God. He's doing something in you. He's speaking to you. He's strengthening you. He's deepening your roots, and he will use what you learn in the storm to help somebody else through theirs. And one day you'll say, "I've been through a storm just like that. Like, we survived unfaithfulness in our marriage, so you can survive it in yours as well. We overcame financial hardship. We did what was right, and we climbed out of debt, and you can climb out of debt as well. I used to be in bondage to that, but by the grace of Jesus, he has set me free, and the same Christ who set me free can set you free as well." And suddenly you become an evangelist for the presence of God who never leaves you in the middle of a storm, because God is doing something. He's working on you. You don't always know it when you're in the storm, but on the other side of the storm, when you're safe on shore, you often look back and you say, "Whew, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want anyone to go through that. But I would never, ever trade it for the intimacy, for the spiritual depth, for the character, for the trust, the faith in my God that is a result of surviving that storm." Verse 25, "So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as it said." Maybe you need to hear that again. Verse 25, "So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said." See, my faith isn't in what I see. My faith is in what God says. I have faith in God that what he says will come to pass. I have faith in God that it will happen. My faith is not in the boat that we're on. My faith is in the one who commands the wind and the waves. My faith is not in the ship. My faith is in the one who created the trees that made the ship. I have faith in my God that it will happen and he will see us through, that he will be my deliverance, that he will provide, that my God will bring healing. In the middle of that storm, I will experience his peace. And here's the bottom line. You cannot control when a storm blows up. You cannot control how severe the storm is. You cannot control how long the storm lasts, and you can't control what people say about you. You can't control what people do to you. But you can control what you believe. And you can control where you put your faith. Because my faith is in the one who created the wind and the waves. My faith is in God. And what he says will happen. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 46, 1 to 3. Here's what it says. God is our shelter. Right? In the middle of the storm, he's our hiding place. He's our safety. He's our strength. He is always ready to help in times of trouble. God is our shelter, always ready to help in times of trouble. Why? Because he's with us. Because he's by our side. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Because he's with us, we will not be afraid. Even if the earth is shaken and the mountains fall into the oceans, even if the seas roar in rage, the hills are shaken by violence. This is quite the psalm. And we can say it this way. Even if I lose my job, even if the relationship does fall apart, even if the economy gets shaky, I will not be afraid. Why? Because he is with me. Because he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Because he is what I need. Because he's my safety. Because he's my strength. Because he's my comforter. Because he's my source. Because he's my redeemer. Because he's my righteousness. Because he's a friend that sticks closer than the brother. He's a rock. He's the living bread. He's the bread of life. Because he's the living water that satisfies my soul. He's the gate through which I enter. The guide who directs my step. The comforter that ministers in time of need. He is my peace. And peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. And he's with me. Look, a virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. And that's why you never, never, never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. True peace is not found in the absence of storms and trials and troubles. That's just part of life. True peace is found in the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. My faith is not in what I see. My faith is in what God says. And he says, it will happen. The storm will not take you down. Be at peace. God is with you. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, wow, I'm not in a storm. I've had some in the past. Sure, one is coming around the corner that I probably don't know of, but I'm not in a storm. Like, this might be speaking to some of you, and it's not speaking to me. I'm not in a storm. Maybe this is preparation. Maybe God's preparing you for a storm. Or maybe God is asking you to hold someone else's hand in the storm. And don't be like Paul, I told you so. But instead say, Can I support you through this? What do you need? How can I, part of the family of God, be that brother or sister? Right? Because you know when you're stuck in the ditch or you miss the airplane flight, you need a loan, you call family. How can I be that family to your need right now? Maybe that's what God's calling you to. You might not be in a storm, and one might be around the corner. Maybe it's God's timing that you hold someone else. You give her that deep hug and say, I am with you, whatever you need. God has placed me in this place because he's with you, and today I will be a servant. Let's pray together. So Father, we pray in the name of your Son, your risen Son Jesus, that you would do in the lives of those who are hurting today, only what you can do. And churches, you're reflecting in prayer. Those you would say, I know someone in the middle of a storm right now, or we're going through a storm right now. I'm in the middle of one. I need the presence and the peace of Jesus. If that's you today, would you lift your hand? If you're in the middle of that storm, or you know someone in the middle of that storm, would you lift your hand so we can intercede for you and or them? Lord, I pray today, as there are so many that are hurting, I pray, God, that we would be sensitive as your church to reach out and care for others and to minister to them, to even represent you and your love to them. God, I ask that they would feel your love through your family and sense your presence in more ways than they could ever imagine. That an angel of the Lord might be comforting them right now. Or that your Holy Spirit is dwelling within them. That your living word is soothing their souls and renewing their minds. Because God, I know you're already in tomorrow, and that you're working all in all things. Even the things that we wish were never happening. You're still working in those things to bring about good. So God, to those who love you and are called according to your purpose, now we cast our cares upon you, because you care for us. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your presence. He guards our hearts and our minds and our souls in Christ Jesus. And if you give us this supernatural peace that this world knows nothing of, because you dwell within those who know you. Jesus, give us peace. God, give us your peace in the middle of the storm. And as we keep praying, there might be, you might be sitting here in a place where your own sin is caught up to you. You're in a storm because of what you did. You see, our sin nature separates us from God. And the good news is that God loves you more than you could imagine. So much so that he became one of us. This is Emmanuel, God with us. And as Jesus grew up, God made flesh who dies in our place. Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. And on the third day, he rose again, so that anyone, and this includes you, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, the name that is above any other name, God hears your prayer. He forgives you. Even if it's you that caused the trouble, he forgives you for your sin, and he makes you brand new. And so if you're sitting there and you're saying, I need his grace, I need that forgiveness, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn towards God. I give my whole life to him. So Jesus, today I trust you. And when you cry out to him, he'll hear your prayer. He'll forgive every sin and he'll make you brand new. If that's you, and you're saying, yes, I need Jesus, I give my life completely to you, just pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I trust you to forgive me of my sins. And make me new. Fill me with your spirit so I can live for you and I can follow you every day of my life. Because God, my life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you, Jesus, for new life. Now you can have mine. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church, for joining us in this series. I know not everybody's in a storm. But I also know when you're in a storm, it's hard to go back to those habits that you've created where you see God and you're in his presence. So I want to close with a discussion question. You want to throw it up on the screen. What main way do you find God reveals his presence to you? And I want us to talk about this because some of you might be sitting here and saying, I don't know how to feel God. So ask your neighbor, how do you feel God? How do you know God is with you? So go for it. As we close, break into groups of 6 or 8. Pray for each other because some of you are going through storms. And talk about this. Talk about this. And gentlemen, if you could, at the end, we're going to stack up all the chairs and get ready for the Christmas party. But until then, have a good, deep, intimate conversation.